What I'll be presenting today is work that we have done at the American University of Beirut. I'm an assistant professor at the Health Promotion and Community Health Department and the coordinator of the AUB Tobacco Control Research Group. I'll be speaking about work that we have done to inform the tobacco control policy process in Lebanon. In fact, Lebanon is only at least 2 plane rides away. It's the evening now. It's a small country, 4 million people on the Mediterranean Sea, for those who are not familiar. In terms of tobacco control policies, Lebanon ratified the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control in 2005. By 2009, we should have had health warning labels. We have very weak tobacco control policy framework. We had, and I will tell you why we had, and now we have a better policy framework now. We have the only law on paper about tobacco control on policy was in 1983 and was actually renewed in 1995. We are a first generation health warning according to HYPE's labeling and categorizing. Our warning says the Ministry of Health warns smoking leads to dangerous and deadly diseases. So it's vague, it's unclear. And it's very small and naked and is not clear. In fact, this is how our health warning looks like, if you can see it from here. You can't, and it's on this side. By law, because we still have advertising permitted, the law even says it needs to be 15% of the advertising space. So you can see on the left the health warning. Actually, this is a new cigarette that's been introduced in Lebanon, flavored cigarettes. It was just distributed outside the university main gate. And this is an advertising, and the white space is the health warning on the advertising. In terms of prevalence of smoking, we have high prevalence of male and female smokers. In the Arab world, we have the highest prevalence of female smokers. Over 27% of medical and dental students smoke cigarettes, and based on the latest global youth tobacco survey, up to 60% of our 13 to 15 year olds currently smoke any tobacco. What we actually wanted to do when we started doing this research is to preempt, and before any actual law was on paper, we wanted to see what were the warnings that would be effective and to actually suggest them to the government. At the same time, we wanted information that we can use to advocate with policymakers to show them that we have local evidence that pictorial warnings work, that this small health warning, text warning doesn't work. And that was late in 2009-2010. Now, based on the past 2 years of advocacy that we have done with civil society, I'm glad to say that in August 2011, we actually have a tobacco control policy that bans smoking in public places comprehensively, that bans advertising above and below the line. The last law that I talked about was 16 years ago, so now we have a law on paper. It requires health warnings, but the health warning was a big battle. So as Heike was saying, the tobacco industry was really not lenient on allowing policymakers to legislate on having health warnings. At the end of our battle, we were able to have to require 40% on the front and the back with the text. However, the pictorial warning remained a very shy and very weak provision in the law that says that if the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Health would like to agree together to have a pictorial warning, then maybe we'll have a pictorial warning. And I don't think we'll ever have one because they never agree on anything. Now, I'm not going to review the international evidence. Obviously, we're in a session that says a picture is worth 1,000 words. We know what the evidence is on pictorial health warnings. There's been a number of studies that have evaluated the success of pictorial health warnings, some from the International Tobacco Control Project that had the first 4-country study that was in the US, UK, Canada, and Australia, evaluated the health warnings as they were implemented at country level and showed and revealed that larger graphic warnings were more effective than the actual text warnings. In the Middle East region, we have Egypt that has textual pictorial warnings, we have Iran, we have Jordan, but none have been evaluated before implementation. And Jordan just recently has a published paper evaluating its health warnings after they were implemented at local level. You know, factors that influence the impact of graphic health warnings, the size, where they're placed, what the pictures are, what exactly is said in the text. Because of limited resources, we've decided to actually evaluate the size, to stick on the size instead of changing sizes. So we decided it will be 50% on the front and the back of the pack. And in addition, we're going to be looking at various pictures depending on theme that we wanted to test. So our study was to test those various pictorial warnings. I'll talk about the process of how we chose them. And we wanted specifically to look at students in schools and universities and adults. And most of the studies so far, fewer of them have looked at the influence of the pictorial warnings on younger age groups. We started looking at the Tobacco Labeling Resource Center, reviewing the different databases available on this website that have all the pictorial warnings that have been implemented in different countries, identifying different warnings, and then looking at how these could be adapted to cultural and local expertise. We had a small committee that had communication and health experts, and we tried to adapt warnings, and I'll show you the warnings that were chosen, based on a choice of seven different themes that looked at short-term, long-term health effects, etc. These are the seven themes that we had. We attempted to have warnings, test warnings on this scope, so secondhand smoke, looking at the influence of secondhand smoke on the fetus, on pregnant women, on youth, also long-term health effects, short-term health effects, on impotence, dependence, messages on cessation, and the last one that we haven't seen anyone tested before is the one on financial loss. So how much people spend money, and if a warning that tells them, you know, you'll be saving money, if that actually is effective. And we did a pilot test of the various pictures that were chosen from this website. This is these are the warnings that were tested with the younger school students. We had ones that were, you know, more clear, ones that were general. So the one that with the gun and the hanging rope, it just says smoking kills. And then at the same time, while testing them and pilot testing them, many of the people didn't recognize the pictures of the lung outside the body, so we had to place the lung within a torso and show a before and after in the same lung picture. Same thing with the teeth, a before and after picture. So we had covered long-term health effects, secondhand smoke, and short-term health effects specifically with school children. With the university students, we added the messages on the need for cessation and on addiction, but we also went through, we had the same ones on long-term and short-term effects. We had ones on impotence, varied ones on impotence, ones that we thought were culturally appropriate and ones that were not. So we liked the one from Brazil, and we actually adopted it culturally, and we wanted to test it with university students because we thought it's different than the cigarette one. And then we had one on the left, you can see it's more family-oriented, so it's impotence within a couple and not outside a relationship. And then the one with the financial warning on the right, burning of 100,000 Lebanese pounds, which is around $60, just to show the effect of that. And the one on heart disease and stroke were directly adopted as they are, because we couldn't come up with one in the short framework that we were working on. And with adults, all the warnings were tested, especially the one with women regarding wrinkles. So we had the face divided in the middle, one showing a regular, one showing wrinkles on the other side. So these are the tests as a result of our process that we actually went through in order to come up with a number of warnings. In addition, we tested six sexual warnings, and these two were tested on the 50% on the front and the back of the side, and followed the same themes that the pictorial warnings had. With regards to the research process, we, of course, went through IRB approval for those. We had to go through the approval of the Ministry of Education to be able to test within schools. We had to get the consent of the principals and the parents to be testing with the younger age groups, and the assent of the students in schools and the university and with adults. After finishing the data collection, we distributed an information sheet about the health effects of smoking. The second step was the data collection. Now, this was a convenient sample, so it wasn't a random sample. We had a convenient sample of schools that was given to us from the Ministry of Education. We started at the beginning doing just Beirut because we had limited funds. We were able to secure funds to do the work throughout the country. So we started with 30 public private schools in Lebanon and universities, seven universities across all the territories of Lebanon, and we had a convenient sample of adults from across. And adults were recruited in public places, so by the on the Corniche, on the seaside, in shopping malls, in front of stores, or in regular convenience stores. We had different approaches to developing. While developing our questionnaire, we wanted to make sure that we look at theoretical models of change. So basically, we asked questions in relation to impact. So impact that these different warnings were having, the self-efficacy of people to actually stop smoking or not start smoking. We looked at asked questions about intentions of people to quit smoking or to start smoking. The statistical analysis was done using SPSS, and we looked at using the McNamara test, looked at investigating pairwise associations. So we had, the way that the data collection was done was that each individual was shown three pairs of warnings, and they were shown also the regular one to compare it with the regular one. So they were asked, you know, when looking at this warning, how to answer when in comparison to the one that currently is at stake. I'm going to be presenting a few slides on the results. The first, this slide only, the graph shows just the description about the smoking status of the population. So we can see that in schools, 18% of, that we had 18% of male smokers in school age groups and 3% of female smokers. In the university age group, we had 50% of the university age group participants as male smokers and 24.4% as female smokers. And this is talking about cigarette smoking. And the adult population reflects the actual prevalence that I cited, so we had up to 60% of male smokers and 40% of female smokers. We wanted to look, because if you go back to the objectives, that this is supposed to be research that we want to inform policy with. So we wanted to inform policymakers when and if they decide to actually have a pictorial warning, what were the warnings that they would be picking. I skipped the slide. This slide shows the knowledge of health effects among the school, university, and adult participants. So this, the boxes that you see that don't have, are not colored and don't have percentages, means that above 80% of the participants responded that they know that smoking kills. So male non-smokers in the school, the pink, in the green universities, and in the teal adults, above 80% of them answered that they know that smoking kills. If you look at the bottom of the table where all the colors are, this shows the different knowledge levels across schools, university, and adults. For example, impotence, only 32% of male smokers in schools had the knowledge that smoking leads to impotence, only 41% in universities, and only 40% among adult population. So in general, there was high knowledge, but the information regarding impotence, cerebral stroke, and about the difficulty of quitting was relatively low among the three populations. So when we asked smokers, does this warning motivate you to quit smoking more than the current text warning which you see in the market? And we asked non-smokers when they, in comparison to the current text warning on the regular cigarette pack they can buy in the market, does this warning motivate them to remain as non-smokers? And we looked at the ranking. So what were the top four warnings that actually worked? In school children, lung cancer warning ranked as number one for male smokers and male non-smokers. It also showed up among female non-smokers. The second rank, the picture of teeth decay among school children showed among males and male non-smokers. However, for female smokers, the picture on secondhand smoke yields the influence of teeth decay and lung cancer showed among females smokers. And then among female non-smokers, teeth decay and lung cancer came as the first ranking warning. Among university students, also heart disease, lung cancer, teeth decay showed up. It was interesting to see that among university male students, the impotence one with a thumb down that we wanted to test with university populations actually showed and ranked number 4 among university populations. And another interesting finding among university students is that female non-smokers found the one on with the money being burned that you saw as motivating them to remain non-smokers. So that ranked 3rd among the tested warnings. And among adults, also within adults, the only textual warning that showed effectiveness was the one related to heart and cardiovascular disease. All the others, lung cancer, heart disease, influence of secondhand smoke on the children and on the fetus, showed that they actually motivated smokers to quit or motivated non-smokers not to start. And of course, among female smokers, the two warnings regarding secondhand smoke exposure to children and to fetuses were found ranked 2nd and 3rd among the smokers. The next 3 slides that I'll be showing are about intention to try to quit smoking. And so we asked smokers based on this warning, I intend to try to quit smoking, and they answered within a range of agreeing and strongly agreeing to not agreeing. And non-smokers based on this warning, I intend not to start smoking. Now the take-home message from this graph, when looking at male smokers, we see that the percent of male smokers, you know, around 30%, 40% of male smokers agreed on the intention not to to quit smoking when they saw the secondhand smoke warning and the teeth decay warning. For female smokers, we didn't have enough. It was 3.3% of female smokers in the school students, so we didn't have enough numbers. But the 4 warnings showed a high percent of agreement on intentions not to try, or on intentions not to start, or intentions to try to quit smoking. But the male smokers still had lower percentages. In the university students, the warning on lung cancer and the warning on secondhand smoke influence on children had a high percent of agreement with regard to intention for female smokers. And lastly, when we looked at the adults and on the percent agreement on intention not to start or to try to quit, heart disease showed a high percent agreement among male smokers, among male non-smokers, and among female non-smokers. From our data, we found out that all pictorial warnings, when compared to the current warning, were found to be more effective. So this was very important information that we can use, research findings that we can use with policymakers to convince them that textual warnings will not work and pictorial warnings will be more effective. We have local evidence. I mean, the importance of finding local evidence that policymakers were not convinced from evidence that we got. We tell them in the UK they did this, in the US they did this. They wanted to see from Lebanese populations what we found. Only one textual warning ranked top among adults only, which was the one related to heart disease. With regards to motivation to quit, with regards to the message on the impact of secondhand smoke, you know, female adult smokers found the fetus warning very motivating for them. Also, with regards to long-term health impact, the heart disease, lung cancer, and the vascular disease, the one with the brain stroke health warning was shown as effective. On short-term health impact, teeth decay showed up in all the group populations tested. Impotence showed up specifically with university students, with younger age groups. Dependence and cessation were the 2 warnings that didn't show up as being effective among adults. And finally, among university female students, the financial loss warning was shown. With regard to intentions, percentage agreement varied by pictorial warning across the schools, youth, and adult participants, but there was an agreement with intentions to quit or not to start. And in general, there were lower percentages on agreements among male smokers, which is something that is expected. There was a lot of challenges. I mean, one of our main challenges was actually resources, and that's why we had intended to test a larger number of warnings, but we decided to be very specific on the ones that we test and have a small number in order to have the findings go out fast in time enough for us to be able to use them to inform policymakers. Data collection was very time-consuming among schools across the Lebanese, across all the Lebanese territories. Questionnaires were sometimes long, and the pictorials and the questions, it was difficult to link the questions to the pictorials, so the people asking the questions always had to hold the health warning and make sure that the children are answering to that specific health warning that they were asking about. We have information now to inform policymakers. In fact, we actually used in August, while the parliamentary session was going on and discussing the issue of health warnings, we did a fast off-the-shelf policy brief we distributed to the 128 parliamentarians in order to attempt to make them change their mind with regards to pictorial warning. There was strong opposition by the tobacco industry for pictorial warning. It was very clear. We knew that from the policymakers. They were arguing about it increasing smuggling across borders. We were telling them, in fact, it doesn't, because now we can know which warnings are Lebanese and which ones are not. They're worried that it will stretch to Syria and to the neighboring countries. But we tried, and this information at the moment will be used by the Ministry of Health at least to pass the textual health warnings that were effective. Thank you.